while you're turning there. By way of introduction of this, Alexander the Great is one of the great conquerors of the world, as far as the world's concerned. He sat down depressed at 32 years old that there was no more worlds to conquer. Alexander the Great knew that his philosophy and the depraved culture of Greece and their philosophy, if it was to prosper, had to be educated to the young people. Such a mark Alexander the Great left on this world. He set up schools all over the known world then. And when Rome came to power, the language of Christ's day was Greek. That's how powerful Alexander the Great was. And the Greek philosophy is what taught the Roman children. That's what so corrupted them. We've lived now since the 60s in a couple generations of this evolution and no God. And we're seeing the fruit of it. That's what's happened in this country. The blessing of God's off of it to a great extent. And the reason being, we've got a vast number of people in this country that don't even know if there's a God. Don't even acknowledge it. Certainly don't believe there's a final authority called God's Word, the Bible. And public education has done that. That's what's done it. All the devil did in the Garden of Eden is put a question mark in the mind of Eve. A liberal professor can destroy your mind. Especially if you don't know God, you're already in darkness. Already wanting a way out for your sin, and you, it's real easy if you can say there's no God or the big cop-out, I don't know who he is if there is one. It's foolishness. It's foolishness. It's the height of all insult to a holy God for a man to look up at the heavens and say, you know, I just don't know if there's one up there. After all God went through to give us the Bible, well, I don't even know if I believe the Bible, you know. I don't even know if it's accurate. I don't even know if it's God's word. Calling God a liar is what that is. In Psalm 14, verse number 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. You know why they say there are no God? They are corrupt. That's that venom in their heart. Corrupt. Any man says there's no God, he is full of corruption. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, that did seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. That means when you got to understand what that means. Romans 3 repeats that. When God says good, he's talking about perfection. There's no man that lives perfection. That's what Christ, the rich young ruler, Christ said, there's none good but God. No one gives absolute perfected works but God. And the perfection and holiness we have come from him. He gave it to us. And man within himself does not do one good deed. Not in God's estimation. Because it's not from perfection, and God demands perfection. In the book of Psalms 19. It says here, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. There's no, their lines gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. I want to talk to you a little bit on a reasonable answer to the atheist. A reasonable answer to the atheist. Brother Todd, pray one more time for us, will you? Amen. A visiting Russian scientist came to American University years ago, and he made this statement, and it is profound. He said, either there is a God or there isn't. Both possibilities are frightening. Whether there is a God or there's not a God, both possibilities are frightening. He said if there is a God, we need to find out who he is and what he wants. Another man said, if there is no God, we're in big trouble. We're traveling 66,000 miles an hour through space. How this Milky Way galaxy is, and nobody's in control. Nobody's in charge. Can you think of a more frightening thing than that? Think about what that would imply beyond description. If there's no God, life has no point. Life has no meaning. There's no purpose to anything we do. If there is no God, if there's no God, there's no hope. If there's no God, there's no right and wrong. If there's no God, there's no heaven and hell. If there's no God, there's no eternity. If there's no God, there's no seeing your loved ones on the other side. If there's no God, there's no resurrected body. If there's no God, you can't have society. You look, think about this. How do you have absolutes? How do you say something's right or wrong? There's got to be an authority above me. There's got to be an authority above you. It can't be the surmisings of a society. What they say is right and wrong. Hitler said it's all right to kill Jews. Hitler was raising up an Aryan race of blonde-headed, blue-eyed children. And everybody else is cut out. That's what he thought was right and wrong. Then the Russians and the Chinese have their idea of right and wrong. The liberal has their idea of right and wrong. But there's got to have civilized society, a final authority of what's right and what's wrong. In Isaiah 50 verse 4, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. He waketh morning by morning. He waketh mine ear to hear as the learned. What an advantage the child of God has to this world. We've got intuition of God. We don't just think God exists. We know he exists. We've met him. We've talked to him. Have I ever seen him? I have by thy faith. I know he's more real than the air I breathe. I know he's more real than the blood that flows through my body. I know he's more real than this building that I stand in. I've got the unction of the Holy Spirit. See, somebody, ignorance means you don't know. How can anybody be qualified to tell me that I don't know God when he changed my life, when I talk to him, when I've got an inner knowledge of him? Oh, listen to me. God, this is so important. When God saves somebody, he gives them arguments and truths that satisfy the mind. It's such a blessing to have your mind satisfied. Something you can die with. Something you can hold to. Something that you know is real. Atheists are guilty of doing the very thing they accuse Christians of. What's that? How they accuse us of having faith without evidence. Well, what have they got? They got a faith. Atheism is a faith. Agnosticism is a faith. Everybody's got a faith. Everybody's got a system of religious thought. What a horror must be in the inner man of an atheist or an agnostic that dies and don't know what God's name is, doesn't have any peace. I mean, the lights are out. He's in darkness. He's trying to use the arguments of Thomas Paine. He's trying to use the arguments of Robert Ingersoll. He's trying to use the arguments of Voltaire to get a little bit of peace, to face the great unknown. What an inner torment that must be. But men want a belief system to fit in to their preconceived worldview. Their prejudice and hatred is against an absolute God, a God of holiness, a God of power, a God of perfection, and most of all, a God of accountability. Now, every day you live by faith. Why should it be a strange thing that I have faith in God? You live by natural faith every day. If you got up this morning and you eat a bowl of cereal, did you take every piece of that cereal and analyze it to see if it was scientifically and health safe? Why, no. You had enough faith in the manufacturer to believe that the health regulations that regulate him, that food would be safe. Did you go then take the milk, have it analyzed? No. You got a certain amount of faith. You eat the cereal. You drunk the milk. You drunk the water. You drove down the road with a natural faith, believing that that man coming toward you would stay on his side of the road. You had a natural faith that when you touched the brake system, that car would stop. You had a certain amount of faith as you went down the highway that you'd be safe. You had a natural faith that when you come in this building and sit down on these pews, that pew would hold up your weight. Faith is trust. You can't live without trust. You've got trust that the wiring system in your house won't burn the house down. That's why you go to sleep every night. You got faith. Have that. The electrical system won't start a fire. You got faith when you get on an elevator and it'll get you to the top. You got faith when you get on the steps and that they're safe to walk down. You can't live in this world without a natural faith. You trust in things. Some people trust the minds of others. They trust the theories of others. They bank their entire soul's destination on what some man thought up. They tell me I'm crazy. And I trust a Christianity that's changed the lives of millions, that's withstood persecution, that gives peace to the mind and to the soul. And they tell me I'm crazy. And they believe some long-haired bearded scientist called Darwin that's just guessing at it. But they tell me I'm crazy. They tell me I believe in superstition when they believe that nothing plus nobody equals everything. I'll tell you, I can't believe that. My mind don't operate like that. That's an impossibility. That breaks the very laws of science that they claim to believe. That's what evolution does. Oh, it's not incredible to believe in an all-knowing, all-wise, all-powerful, all-present God, because the evidence proves that it's so, and we know it's so. Now, stay with me. For a man to make the statement, I'm going to tell you right now, there are no atheists. That's a lie. You don't mean I can prove it to you. What do you have to know to make the statement, there is no God? Well, let me ask you this. How many grains of sand are on all the beaches of the world? Do you know? Let's just reduce it to Myrtle Beach. Do you know that? Let's just reduce it to a 1-inch square. Do you know that? How many blades of grass are in the Bitterroot Valley in Montana? How many pieces of rock cover this earth? Do you know? Well, you just admitted you don't know everything. Isn't that a blessing? You don't know everything. Then how can you know there is no God? You would have to be God to know there's no God. Because to make that statement, there is no God, you'd have to be at every corner of the universe. You've got to be everywhere in space and investigated it and found out there is no God. Have you been there? To say there's no God, you've got to be omnipresent. You've got to be everywhere. To say there's no God, you've got to know everything. And we don't. What would you have to know to make this statement? There is no gold in Europe. Could you look at me with a straight face and say that? There is no gold in Europe. I believe that. There's no gold in Europe. What have you got to know to make that statement? You've got to know where every rock is. Because if there's one speck of gold in any rock in Europe, you're wrong. If there's one woman got gold in a ring, you're wrong. If there's one man, I got a ring and a wedding band, you're on. If there's one grandparent, got gold filling in their tooth, you're on. Have you searched above ground? Have you searched underground of all of Europe to make that statement, there is no gold in Europe? No. Do you see how crazy this is for someone to propose and trust their never dying soul on a concept that cannot be proved? It's unthinkable. But people believe that. I'll give another illustration. Let's put a picture up of Table Rock in the foyer of this church. Walk by that picture and look at it. And you've seen the image of Table Rock when you come around the road. And you look up there. That's Table Rock. You see the picture. That's the image of Table Rock at the bottom. It says Table Rock, North Carolina. Now I'll ask you a question. Do you have to see the photographer to believe that picture's real? No. Do you have to see the camera that it was made with to know that a camera shot that picture? No. What's the evidence? The evidence is the photographer's work. You have to see the construction worker to know somebody built your house. Are you listening? Do you have to see the manufacturer to know somebody built your car? All that intricate system of a computer, fuel injection, the electronic ignition, all those sensors, your emission control, your intake system. A motor's a big air compressor. It's what it is. Gas in, air in, intercombustible engine. Exhaust goes out, the burn fuel. It produces power that's transferred down to the crankshaft, that's transferred through the transmission, that's transferred to the rear end, or nowadays, the front system, the way they make cars. How could anybody look at that design and say, I'll never believe that somebody designed the car because I didn't see them build it? How were you there when the Big Bang banged? How do you believe that? Do you see how foolish this stuff is? I'll tell you, the existence of God is known as an axiom. It is a self-evident truth. Nowhere does the Bible prove that there's a God. It states the obvious. An axiom is a truth that is self-evident. You don't prove or disprove God. It's a self-evident. Evident. Now, think about a man. He goes to college for 12 years. Spent all that money. Come out of college owing $300,000 on a college education. And he spends the rest of his life trying to disprove that parallel lines never meet. You'd think that man's a fool. Why, if they ever meet, they wouldn't be parallel lines. Since they're parallel lines, they can never meet. That's an axiom. That's a self-evident truth. Can you imagine somebody making this stupid argument, spending their life, their money, their intelligence to prove a self-evident truth that there's no God? That is demonic. That's a corrupt heart for a man to make such an assertion. Boy, I think about man's mind and how depraved that it is. Think about for a minute God's great creation. What God's done, how to prove how complex he is. Did you know that the human eye is more complex than a jumbo jet? Did you know that? Did you know your brain is more complex than a military fighting jet? Did you know that? Did you know your mind is more complex? Your hand is more complex? The cells in your body are more complex than all the computers in the world put together. Did you know that? You say, how do you prove that? How many eyes can they make? Huh? If you lose your eye, they put a big marble in your head and call it an eye. They can make a jumbo jet. They can make a 747 that can haul hundreds of people and thousands of tons, but man can't make an eye. God gives everybody two of them. If there's 7 billion people, there's 14 billion eyes. God makes them every day. Put a man in a perfect environment. He's in a laboratory. He's got perfect conditions. He's got all modern day technology. Put him in there. Best of circumstances. Best minds in the world. And tell him to make something from nothing. How you do that? It's like Randall Norman said one time, told that joke. How about a scientist who's going to say, I'm going to prove there's no God. And I'm going to prove that if there is one, he don't know what he's doing. And I'm going to create a new world. He reaches down to pick up some dirt to make a new world. And God said, use your own dirt. Make something from nothing. You've got to have the power of God to speak something into existence. You can't do it. I can't do it. Man can recreate. He can make something out of the substance God's put in this world, but man can't make something out of nothing. You don't get order out of disorder. You and I both know that. Think about this. Man, in all his power, can't make one grain of sand from nothing. He's standing accusing God. He's judging God. And he can't make one grain of dirt. One grain of sand out of nothing. And he thinks he's smarter than God. That is demonic. I'll tell you what's wrong with people like that. They got the devil in them. That's what's wrong with them. They've hardened their heart, darkened their mind with unbelief. Hell, God's took the light out and they can't see. Think about the human body. Think about animals. A variety of them. Flowers, trees, go down the list, birds, fruit, the seasons of the year, the sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the tide, waterfalls, Niagara. Go down the line and some idiot stands up and says, I'm crazy for believing in God. Think of how the seasons of summer, fall, and winter, or spring, summer, fall, and winter, all come in the same order. Do you know this world is so precise that a scientist can predict to the precise second, 100 years from now, what time the sun will rise? Did you know that? This earth, think of the earth spinning as it orbits the sun, while our moon orbits the earth. Think of the moon. As it pulls in, that gravitational pull, as it pulls in the tides of the sea, plants give off oxygen. Man takes in oxygen. Man gives off carbon dioxide. The plant takes in carbon dioxide. Boy, wasn't that some Las Vegas chance that all just happened? Think about the sun evaporating salt water up into the air and it comes down fresh water. Think about just the systems that God's placed in this world. Clouds forming, being blown by the wind over the mountaintops, dropping rain to give life to this earth, at the same time cleansing the air of its impurities. Think about the mountains that hold water in the form of snow until the heat of summer melts it. Then it feeds the rivers and feeds the streams and feeds the land. Isn't that not incredible that all this just happened out of some gigantic explosion? It's because you see, don't see something that nullifies its existence. You ever seen your heart? No. How do you know you got one? You ever seen God? How do you know there ain't one? You got lungs? How do you know? You ever seen them? You got kidneys? How do you know? You ever seen them? You ever seen wind? What does wind look like? It's invisible. Do you believe in the wind? You ever seen electricity? What's it look like? You ever seen radio waves? You ever seen TV signals? You believe in stuff every day you can't see. Man don't want to believe. That's why he don't believe. He don't want to believe because of the consequences. Now, how great would God have been? Now think about this. How great, forget about the universe, how great would God have to be just to make the sun? If that's all there was. The sun, Mercury, all the way to Pluto, our solar system, and the Earth, the third planet, 93 million miles from the sun. How great would God have to be just to make that? The sun's radius is 432,169 miles. The Earth, or the sun, is 109 times as large as the Earth. The size of the sun. Think about this. If you were to take the Earth and made the sun hollow, you could put 1 million Earths in the sun. That's how big the sun is. You could put 1,300 Earths in Jupiter. You could put 800 Earths inside of Saturn. How the size of the sun. There are stars out there that are 700 times the diameter of the sun. The VV Scepter, the largest known star, is 649,800 times the diameter of the Earth. There's a star smaller than that one that is 700 million miles in diameter. If you took that star and put it at Mercury, it would go all the way past Jupiter. Just that one star. And all that just happened out of an explosion. Ain't no wonder there's an eternal hell for people like that. But think about God's great wisdom in doing all this. The temperature of the outer part of the sun is estimated at almost 10,000 degrees. The sun is 8 minutes. It takes 8 minutes for the rays of the sun to reach the earth. If the sun burn out right now, it'd take 8 minutes before you knew that the sun had burned out. Think about this. What kind of energy does the sun have? Enough to heat the earth and illuminate the earth in the daytime. What about the moon reflecting the sunlight or the light of the sun at night? Isn't that just incredible? The Las Vegas lottery and all that just happened. Every plant, every animal, the existence of life depends on the sun. God placed the sun at 93 million miles from the earth. And the earth is in the perfect spot to receive the correct heat. If it was farther out, we'd freeze to death. If it was closer, we'd burn up. The polar caps would melt. Water would cover this earth up to the 23rd floor of the Empire State Building. If the earth was closer to the sun, it's estimated that every second, listen to this. The sun. And the sun is a little candle compared, or a little marble compared to a basketball in comparison to other stars. But here's the power of our sun. Every second. Man, this is power. Every second. All them explosions on this, all the helium. Every second, there's approximately 13 million times the energy produced than is used in an entire year in all the United States of America. Are y'all getting how big God is? I said every second, there's more energy produced every second than all the electricity that's produced in the United States in a year's time. The power, the brilliance, the radiancy, God's great power and God's great might. We live in the Milky Way galaxy. The closest star is 26 trillion miles away. Now what just happened? I have an explosion. That insults my intelligence. Every major university in America teaches that, Tommy Rott. If anybody believes in absolutes, the professor makes fools out of them. The sun, think about this. If the sun was 1 inch in diameter, now get this, 1 inch in diameter of the sun, it'd be 445 miles to the nearest star. That's how big this thing is. I'm talking about one star. The Milky Way galaxy has 400 billion stars. And there's over 100 billion galaxies. Each one of them with 100 billion stars plus. And all that just happened. Boy, when I think about this, you talk about stars, it's like grass in a meadow to God. How do you understand 400 billion stars? How do you understand that? If Adam had given Eve $400 a week to buy groceries 6,000 years ago, and she is alive today, she would have almost spent $1 billion. If Adam gave Eve $160,000 a week to spend for 6,000 years, she would not have spent in all this time the number of stars in the Milky Way galaxy alone. She wouldn't have spent that many dollars, $160,000 a week for 6,000 years. You know how fast light travels? Folks, I'm telling you something. This stuff don't bore me, buddy. I'm talking about a God that spoke all this into existence. The Milky Way galaxy, just one. 100 billion galaxies that they know of. We just talking about one here now. The one we're in. 400 billion stars. If you were to travel 186,000 miles a second, speed of light. Now let that sink in. I didn't say an hour. I didn't say a day. I didn't say a year. A second. 186,000 miles a second. It'll take you 120,000 light years. 186,000 miles a second. Just to span the Milky Way galaxy. Think about that. If you multiply 160,000 by the number of blades of grass in a meadow times 400, you'd have the latest estimate of the number of stars in the universe. You know how many stars there is in the universe? 10 billion trillion followed by 22 zeros. Now what just happened? It's just an explosion. Educated men believe such nonsense. Amen. You know why? They don't want God judging them. They don't want God telling them how to live. That's exactly right. That's what man's problem is. He don't want nobody, especially God, telling him what to do. Think of the incredible pump your heart is. What about the blood God put in your body? God, when God produced a human body, he made a soul and a spirit. What's a soul? What's the difference in a soul and a spirit? You don't know and I don't know. What's a personality? What's a mind? Well, how did that evolve? How did your mind evolve? How did your personality evolve? Why's everybody got a unique thumbprint? Why's everybody got a unique tongue print? No two tongues are the same. How did that get evolved? What an insult to the God of this universe. What about the human eye? What about the flesh that covers your body? What about unending complexity of a fallen nature and a world, and still it's indescribable? Do you realize you sneeze at 120 miles an hour? And it's built into your subconsciousness that you close your eyes when you sneeze. Where does your hair grow from? How did all this just happen? Why is it that the scalp produces a special hair that's different than the hair on your legs and on your arm? Because God instructed in your genetics for it to be that way. The largest cell in a woman's body is an egg, and the smallest cell in a man's a sperm. All this come out of something invisible. My God, how great He is. Put chromosomes in you. Put exactly the flesh you'd have. All that information in something. You got to get a microscope out to look at it. That come together. Fertilization took place. That miracle. And there you sit today. And all that just happened. I got a question for you. Think about how perfectly aligned your eyelashes are. They're like a gutter system. Your eyelashes keep sweat out of your eyes. Think about your eyelids, the hair on your eyelids, your eyelashes. They grow a certain length and stop. You never have to cut them. How'd that evolve? And it's all just perfect. Cleans your eyes. Do you know a woman bats her eyes twice as many times a day as a man? I don't know why. How'd that evolve? I'm trying to exalt to you how wise that God is. What about your teeth? You grow two sets of them. What about God? Isn't it good that it evolved, that your teeth are perfectly aligned on your bottom jaw and your upper part so it can crush food? And your teeth so powerful. How that you grow two sets in a lifetime, but it's the only thing God gives you that can't repair itself. Where'd your fingernails come from? Boy, isn't that handy to have that little old scratching thing out there? Fingernails. What they made out of? Did you know that the fingernail on your middle finger grows faster than the other fingers? Because it's the longest finger. The shorter your fingers are, the slower your nails grow. Do you know your fingernails grow faster than your toenails? Why's that? I'm talking about a God of minute specification, rigid accuracy in what He does. You ever thought about this? The miracle of your hand holding a book. Look how perfect that is. My thumbs hold the pages. My fingers. Aren't you glad your thumbs point inward? Or you couldn't hold anything? Well, if all that was backwards? Look at just your hand. Sir Isaac Newton said, all he had to do is look at a man's hand and know there's a God. A man's hand. How our fingers are made different lengths. How that your hand is such a miraculous thing. You get that hand now working on a car. Just feeling. What about the sensation of feel? Touch. What about pain receptors in your body? Let you know something's wrong. All this just happened. Oh, God, help us to give Him the glory due to His name. How great thou art, then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Think about this. I can pick up this song book. Look at this. I can pick up that piece of paper in that book and know the amount of pressure to put on them, subconsciously to hold them. Isn't that good of God? I'm talking about wisdom. How can anybody with a straight face stand before our kids and tell them such tommy rot as there's no God or evil? I tell you why, because they hate God, that's why. Do you know you get a new stomach lining every 3 to 4 days? Do you know your liver produces over 500 functions? It's capable of it. In a lifetime, you produce enough saliva to fill 2 swimming pools. Your nose is perfectly arranged above your mouth so you can smell your food. Your nose can remember 50,000 different scents. Your eyes are the same size at 50 years old as the day you was born. But your nose and ears never quit growing. How's it that your lungs just breathe without you telling them to? Don't even think about it. Your kidneys just work. And your heart just works. And the blood just runs through your body. And God's been listening for you to give him some credit for all that. And your intestines filter your system, and your blood feeds your body, takes away the waste. Your pancreas, all this just keeps a working, and you never even think about it. And God's put all this in operation. Did you know that some of your bones are stronger than some steel? Did you know that? Did you know that while you was asleep last night, your heart pumped 75 gallons of blood through your body every hour. While you was asleep, 75 gallons of blood an hour pumped through your body. You know what the strongest muscle in your body is? Your tongue. That's right. But God is wise. Do you know every time you take a step, 200 muscles are involved in you taking one step. The lungs are designed to filter oxygen from the air. These organs contain 300 billion tiny blood vessels called capillaries. These red blood cells inside the capillary release oxygen, which passes through the capillary wall into the surrounding tissue. The tissue releases its waste products, like carbon dioxide, that passes through the wall into the red blood cells. Your entire blood washes through your lungs every minute. Every bit of your blood is racing through your lungs every minute. 60,000 miles of blood vessels are in your body. 60,000 miles. Boy, isn't that some coincidence? All that just happened. Platelets in your blood prevent you from bleeding to death. They help the blood clot. How did this evolve? For blood to clot, there is 12 specific individual chemical reactions that have to take place. Not one, not nine, 12. And every one of them have to take place for your blood to clot. In a lifetime, you shed 40 pounds of skin. Your eyes are focusing muscles that move an estimated 100,000 times a day. Each eye has within it a retina that covers less than a square inch and contains 137 million light-sensitive cells. The brain contains 10 billion neurons or microscopic nerve cells. The stomach produces 4 pints of gastric juice every day, has 35 million glands lining it. Your mouth has 8,000 taste buds. 300 million cells die in your body every minute. Are you getting this? The marvel of God. You know what the universe is? It's nothing but an analogy of how vast God is. That's what that is. Think about this. Every minute, 300 million cells die in your body. Every day, the adult body produces 300 billion new cells. Isn't it good of God to perfectly position your ears on the side of your head? Warfare is on top of it. How'd that evolve? The ears are specifically designed by God to capture sound. The grooves, the bumps, and the ridges are made to catch passing sound waves and channel them into the eardrum. The hands are made to grip and to feel. The tongue's made to taste food and to shape speech. The nose is made to smell. And God put that nose right above your mouth so you could smell your food. Well, if your nose is backwards, think about all these perfected possibilities. How can a brown cow eat green grass that produces white milk and yellow butter and orange cheese? Let's put that big dummy scientist that don't believe in God in a laboratory. Let him take grass and make white milk. Man, so smart. Matter of fact, don't give him any grass. Let him make his own grass and make the milk. How can a wasp beat its wings 100 times a second? A horsefly 190 times a second? A mosquito 500 times a second? When a flea jumps, its acceleration is 20 times the acceleration of the launch of a space shuttle. Just a flea. God. The combined length of the roots of a finished pine tree are over 30 miles. God knows the hairs on your head and the number of them. That's how much he cares about you. If you're normal, you got 100,000 of them. If you're blonde-headed, you got more than anybody else does. And we won't get into that. He knows how many you've lost. He knows how many you shed every day. Do you know all that? He does. There's a God. I got to find out who he is and what he wants. I tell you who he is. He's Jehovah Yahweh. I tell you who he is. He's holy. I tell you who he is. He's so holy you can't get around him. I tell you who he is. He's so righteous. You've broke his law. And you're going to face his justice and his judgment. But he loved us enough to make a way we could be acceptable to him. He made a way we could be clothed in his holiness and in his righteousness. That's this great God. His son became a man to pay the sin debt on the cross and pay that debt with his own blood. That wasn't enough. The debt not only has to be paid, you got to be adapted. If you was going to go live on Mercury, what would you have to do? You'd have to get adapted somehow to live in that environment. And there's no oxygen. All that heat. If you was going to go to Mars, if you were going to go to Uranus, man, you'd have to have an adaptation. How would you do it? When they went to the moon, went up to the moon. They went up, there are no spacesuits. Why? They had to take oxygen. They had to take something to make them adaptable to that environment. You ain't got a snowball's chance in hell of surviving in the presence of God in your sin. Amen. Not only must Christ pay the sin debt, you've got to be as holy as God. Nothing is in God's presence that's not absolutely holy except the devil, and that's just for a short period of time till God's redemptive plan is finished. How do you stand acceptable to God unless you're holy as God? How are you going to do that? You can't. You could create another world quicker than you could work your way to heaven. You know what God said? He said, I'm God and I change not. You're a sinner and you change not. You can't change what you are. How does a hog make itself a sheep? It can't. How does a sinner make itself a saint? How do you turn yourself into absolute holiness and perfection? You can't. Listen to me. There's got to be an explanation for all this. There's got to be an answer that'll satisfy my mind. And the answer is this. When Christ died on the cross and the sins of man were put on him, and he paid for man breaking God's law, when he births somebody into the family of God, he gives them a divine nature and clothes them in his holiness. You'll drop off that robe of flesh and that Adamic nature, and you'll be clothed in all the holiness of God when you get there. That's how you get there. You say, I don't believe that. You got a better explanation than that? Do you? Why do men kill the little kids, shoot their wife, burn their house down around them, and kill herself? Why do people do that? Why is this thing getting to where you got to pack a gun everywhere you go to protect yourself? Why is this thing so out of control? We believe in evolution lead more than we ever have. 200 years ago, nobody believed in that Tommy rod. Nobody. Everybody used to believe in God. When I was a kid, you couldn't find an atheist. Well, you couldn't find one. There wasn't no such a thing. First thing I ever met, I was probably getting close to 10 years old, and I met a man that said he was, and there's so much evil around him, I drove by his old house where that wicked cuss lived and thought about that man screaming in hell right now, telling me as a kid, there's no God. God help us. What's wrong with us? Why are we so evil? Why does a marriage covenant mean nothing no more? Why does man's word mean nothing no more? Why we turn in just about like a bunch of animals now? I'll tell you why. Because we believe the lies of Satan. Oh, this old time belief in God and God's word will put a standard in you that there's a day of accountability. If there's a day of accountability, it matters what I do. What's wrong with so many people? They never seen nobody really saved. That's why they think everybody says they're religious or saved. Boy, I hope Whitney Houston was. Don't you? Hope she was. You ever seen one shred of evidence? One shred. One shred. Raised in New Hope Baptist Church. How many years she been on drugs? 30 years. 30 years. Never had 1 ounce of power over sin? Huh? Is that salvation you got? Is that all the power God's got? I mean, I hope she was. I'm not her judge. But like I said, where's any evidence of it? People swallow this mess, hook, line, and sinker. No changed life. No appetite for God. Hey, do they ever wonder? Listen, if there was nothing there, if there was no more power and nothing more to what most people's got, I wouldn't believe in God either. I wouldn't believe in nothing to it. I'll tell you, praise God, there's a real salvation and there's a counterfeit. Most people's got the counterfeit, but thank God for those who's got the real thing. Change your life. When you belong to God, you go back on God, it ain't the same old business. He'll stripe your legs and you get back. He'll take you out of here. That's God now. Well, he bought me. He sought me. And he bought me. A God that big, the heavens can't contain. Do you know something else? Scientists say, if they're right, this blows my mind. You know what they say? You know what scientists say? Every single hour. Now let this sink in. Every hour that passes, the universe is expanding a billion miles in every direction. Did you get that? They even admit that. Every hour. It's expanding a billion miles in every direction. Well, if it's doing that, where's all that banging taking place? Where's all that coming from? You say, well, I can't believe in God. I can't believe, where did God come from? Oh, atheist says, who made God? You know why you say that? Because you live in time. Everything's got to have a beginning. It's got to have an end because we are in this dimension of time. God's outside of time. There's no end to the universe. Just like there's no end to God. They've seen this thing 14 and a half trillion light years out there. They can't find the end of it. Now they're saying it's just a banging. It's just a going a billion miles an hour. Every direction. Luke, you talk about the power of demonic unbelief. I can't, Lee, it scares me, human nature, that we can be so thick-headed and so full of unbelief, we see all this evidence and deny it. Do you see what an enemy to God you are in yourself? That's man. He sees all that greatness of God, won't even admit there is one. And then won't give him any credit. He won't bow to his authority and do what he says. And something that great and awesome. And then he loved us enough to send his son to die for us, and we flip our nose up at it. I don't think this is sinking in. I hope it does. I can't believe God puts up with me. I can't believe it. I can't believe God could love me. I can't, as great, why? As great as he is, why would he fool with something like me? He loved me as small as I am. He's going to give me a body like Christ. And I can't get excited about that. God's done all this, it don't even impress me. God does all this, I can't even say thank you. Have you ever noticed? I got to shut up. Have you ever noticed how many times in the Bible over and over and over the psalmists, the authors exalt the creation of God? Now, you know why? I sat down, like Brother Ralph told me he's seen a video like this. Some of you have. They got these cameras passing through space like satellites, taking pictures of everything out there. They just travel by Jupiter like you passing a hobo on Interstate 40. Then they just pass Saturn. David is just out there in the middle of nothing. Do you know there's no blue sky? That's an illusion of your eyes. Do you know that? A lot of things you think you see is an illusion. It's just vast. Man, I look at them pictures, I think it's got to be computerized. This can't be real. And then it's real. I say, my God. I mean, I feel lower, knee-high to a flea when I see that. To think that God could love me, that he'd send his son to die for me, I scarce can take it in. Oh, my God, how great thou art. You kids ought to grow up with an awe. God. This universe symbolizes God. He's everywhere, but he can live in the heart of a man through the Holy Spirit. Man, what do you say but hallelujah? Glory to his name. Great things he has done. If you don't know him today, what can I say? I mean, you get to the end of a sermon like this, how do you make a proposition? Why would you fight something? Listen, you say, I'm afraid of God. That problem's not with God, it's with you. You're afraid of him because he's holy and you're not. If you was as good as God, you wouldn't fear to walk up to him. You don't meet the standard and you know it and you're nervous about it. Why don't you do something about it? You don't have to fear a baby in a manger. Jesus is a Savior. You don't have to fear a Savior. If you're drowning in an ocean and a man comes out, risks his life to save your life, you don't have to fear the rescuer. Why would you fear God? I tell you why. Because we know we're so far from him. And that distance terrifies us. Jesus came, laid hold on God the Father. He laid hold on man. And at the cross, he reconciled man to God. Takes the fear out of it. I got a joy. Man, glory to God, the joy. I'm going to see him. The joy being in his presence. The joy of knowing him in perfect love. The joy of being at one with him in perfect oneness. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Let's stand their feet. Holy Father, the best words we know to use are all inadequate. Lord, I don't feel any more inadequate than times like this. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, how great you are. And I'm so ashamed that I don't see it more. I wish I could, Lord. I wish I could see it like you really are. And I sure like to see it more than I do. Lord, you overwhelm me. You overwhelm me. God, just the complexity of these bodies you gave us, the complexity of our eyes, the complexity of every organ of our body. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. And I thank God you died through your son for me. That's amazing. God, no wonder John Newton said it's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Lord, you're wonderful, and I give you credit and honor and glory. May the will of God be done. God, you're so good. You've been so merciful to us. You've been so merciful to us. Thank you. Oh, Father.